I'm Louis DiBiase, and this is Locked On Eagles. What's going on, everybody? Welcome into this Tuesday edition of the podcast. I'm riding solo for the day as Gino Camilleri is off on a scouting assignment somewhere in New York. That's all I will say. So good luck to Gino out there today, advancing his career in the scouting academy with Dan Hatman, who used to run the Eagles scouting department back during the mid-2010s, right? That final stage of Andy Reid. So props to Gino. Today he is off for the day. So again, I'm riding solo with you right here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. One more podcast before we get into Vikings week. Really excited to preview this Eagles-Vikings battle between 2-3-2 teams. The Eagles returning to Minnesota for the first time since they raised the Lombardi Trophy, so there's some sentimental feeling there as well, even though much different environment. Now you're actually playing the team that plays at that stadium all their home games in the Vikings, and it's kind of cool too considering the Eagles-Vikings beef that's been going on for the past couple years. So we will preview that game, get it deep into the matchups. You know I'm going to be talking about Kirk Cousins a lot this week, considering I'm very anti-Kirk Cousins and very pro-Delvin Cook. That's a matchup that I'm really excited about. So tomorrow, crossover Wednesday, Thursday, me and Gino will take a look at the matchup, and we will get you ready for this three-game road trip coming up for the Philadelphia Eagles. Again, this is really the next phase. I like how Dave Spadaro put it, who is the official Philadelphia Eagles insider with the team. He put it as, like, here's the next phase, even though it's not, you know, you kind of see, oh, halfway through the year, okay, 8 weeks down, here comes the stretch run, can you do what you did in 2018 kind of scenario type thing, where here, I like the way he put it with the schedule, because these first five games, most people expect you to be 3-2. You had that really tough, most people saw the really tough challenge was the game at Lambeau Field against the Packers, right? But outside of that, you had four very winnable games with the Redskins matchup, the Falcons game against the Detroit Lions, and then the New York Jets. That seemed like phase one, right? Get through that above 500. And then phase two really was the big boy games, and that's really these next 6 weeks against the Vikings, against the Cowboys, against the Bills, all these teams above 500. Also Chicago, you got the New England Patriots coming to town, and the Seattle Seahawks, who might just be the best team in the NFC right now. I'll eat some crow on them. They've really proved me wrong. Over the summer, I said they were not going to make the playoffs, but since they added Jadeveon Clowney, since Ezekiel Ansah got healthy, Jaron Reed coming back, DK Metcalf looks awesome, Russell Wilson's an MVP candidate. You know, those are some really, really dangerous teams the Eagles are taking on. So this is really phase two, and then phase three is the cupcake, the soft part of the schedule down the stretch. So they're entering phase two right now against the Vikings. So make sure you subscribe to the podcast on any platform, Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever. I mean, Himalaya's up there too. You can also check them out on LockedOnEagles.com. We got 4 to 6 podcasts a week right here on Locked On Eagles. Coming up on today's show, the Eagles need to stretch the field more on the offensive side of the football. You heard me and Gino talk about it briefly yesterday. We got into another one of our Nelson Aguilar debates that are kind of flagship on the show over this past year. Also, J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So we got into the receivers and the offense a little bit yesterday on stock up, stock down. But I want to get deeper into it today because I think that is a concern on the offensive side of the football when it comes to DeSean Jackson's health, when it comes to Nelson Aguilar's inconsistencies, also Alshon Jeffrey's health. The offense has kind of had to adjust from what it seemed like they were going to be week one and what they were week one against Washington. So today I'm going to take a deeper dive into the Eagles and the deep ball, their 20-plus yard completion game. Can they find a way to make this compact offense stretched out more? So that's coming up on today's edition of the show. And you can always talk to us on Twitter after the shows at DiBiaseLOE. Gino is at Gino_LOE, and our show page is at Locked On Birds. So let's get into it here, segment one, and kind of set the stage. The Eagles, they clearly have to stretch the field more. The offense has had to adjust without DeSean Jackson, who has been out since. He only played a couple snaps week two against the Atlanta Falcons. He's been rehabbing an abdominal strain. He could have had the surgery, which would have kept him out about 6 to 8 weeks. He, again, like I said yesterday, very motivated to play this year and not have, because some people are saying, why didn't he just get the surgery? And while, yes, he would have been ready in 6 to 8 weeks and, you know, it would have been fixed, the problem would have been fixed, once you have the surgery, there's now you have to really wait until you're ready to go. Where now, yes, you're not fully healed, But it's all about pain management at this point. He could come back. Sure, he has been out for 5 weeks now. He could come back, though, or as early as maybe last week against the Jets, this week against the Vikings, or against Dallas. There's no set timetable now, whereas there would have been if he got the surgery. So I understand it from DeSean Jackson's perspective, and the Eagles have had to really focus on the ground game. They've had to have their offensive line do the work, and Jordan Howard and Miles Sanders, and go heavy 12 personnel running through Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert, and they've had to thrive on third down and, you know, the red zone, which they have. They've been really great in those key areas, but they've had to certainly adjust the way that they play football right now on the offensive side of the ball, because you saw against Washington the effect that DeSean Jackson had after those two big plays, and of course those two big plays included, how the safeties, how the corners were playing that offense after DeSean Jackson did a number on them, and it freed so much up for everybody else. Again, he is, to me, the best deep threat of all time in NFL history, as like that niche role, like that's what he does. When you think of deep threats, I think in the NFL, you think of DeSean Jackson. So yes, of course you're going to be a different offense without him. They have no 20-plus yard receptions by any wide receiver the last three games. They have one, Nelson Agholor, last week against the New York Jets. So really, the only deep plays that have come without DeSean Jackson has been when Carson Wentz has willed it, or honestly, when it's been Miles Sanders. Interestingly enough, I wrote an article for the station I work at in New Jersey, 97.3 ESPN in South Jersey, covering the Eagles there. You can check out my articles there at 97.3ESPN.com. I wrote about yesterday how Miles Sanders has really been the Eagles' only source of explosive plays on offense. So, of course, you have Jordan Howard playing at a really efficient level right now. He deserves to be the lead back when it comes to carries. The offensive line has been awesome. Alshon Jeffrey has been very reliable the past 2 weeks. So has Ertz and Goddard in both the receiving and blocking game. But when it comes to stretch chunk plays, like 20-plus yard receptions, or really 30-plus yard receptions, it's only been Miles Sanders. He has a 30-plus yard play in three straight weeks. He has three catches of 30-plus yards, which after first 5 weeks of an NFL career is the most of any running back, Miles Sanders, since at least 1991, and that's from Eagles Communications. So is this something that will be an issue all year? Because yes, the offense has still produced the past couple weeks. They have not been able to push the ball down the field. So it is something that you should be nervous about, but I don't think it's going to be something that we're talking about a month down the road, right? Heading into a playoff run. I don't think it's going to be something that we're still talking about after the NFL trade deadline and deep into the season. And I'll tell you why coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Today's podcast is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, this isn't just for all of you out there who can't perform. It's for anyone who wants that extra function to enhance their performance in the bedroom. Listen up. It's Blue Chew. Blue like the color blue. It's prescribed online and shipped straight to your door in a discreet package. So there's no in-person doctor visits, no waiting in the pharmacy. And best of all, none of that awkwardness. They're made in the USA, and since Blue Chew prepares and ships direct, they're cheaper than a pharmacy. Right now, we've got a special deal for our Locked On Eagles listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment for free when you use our special promo code LOCKEDON. Just pay $5 shipping. Again, that's B-L-U-E, BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to try it for free. Blue Chew is the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the Locked On Eagles podcast today. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's Locked On Eagles. Louis DiBiase joining you on this Tuesday edition of the show. So as we're talking about today, the Eagles and their ability, or really inability, the past couple weeks to stretch the field, is it something you should be nervous about throughout the season? I think right now it's something you should be concerned about over the past three games and really the next couple, depending on when DeSean Jackson returns. But I don't think it's something we're going to be talking about week 8, right? Week 10, week 13, week 17, into potentially a playoff appearance. I don't think it's going to be something that plagues the Eagles offense throughout the entire season. I would say no to that. I think Jackson, look, he's expected to be back within the next 2 weeks. He could very well play against Minnesota this week. Doug Peterson said yesterday at his press conference that they're going to ramp up his work during practice this week as he continues to rehab that abdominal strain. Look, even if he comes back in 2 weeks, let's say against the Dallas Cowboys or the Buffalo Bills in 3 weeks, I think it's closer to the Minnesota game or the Dallas game compared to the Buffalo game, but let's say he comes back in those games. Even if DeSean Jackson isn't at 100%, even for the rest of the year, 70 to 90% of what Jackson is, still with his speed, is a huge, huge boost to the offense. Let's go, for instance, 2017, Torrey Smith, right? The guy had less than 500 yards receiving. He had a couple big plays. I thought he really stepped up big in the playoffs for sure. He was a great veteran leader on and off the field. But let's say, like, Torrey Smith, I mean, would you say DeSean Jackson right now coming back, even not at 100%, I think is still better than what Torrey Smith was in 2017. I would say Torrey Smith at full strength in 2017 was less than 75% of what Jackson will be coming back. But even with that, so talking about Torrey Smith, his speed alone kept safeties inching back a little bit. Torrey Smith was able to stretch out defenses where Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Agholor was able to have a career year. Zach Ertz was great. Trey Burton made plays. The running backs as well, and Jay Ajayi and LeGarrette Blount and Corey Clement and Darren Sproles earlier in the season. Torrey Smith didn't have great numbers from a box score perspective, and he struggled to catch the football a lot, but his speed alone was something that a defense had to take into account. And that really hasn't been something that the defenses against the Eagles the past couple weeks have had to be concerned with. And it wasn't something they were concerned with last year when Mike Wallace went down and your third receivers were either Jordan Matthews or Golden Tate. Those two weren't players that you were scared about beating you deep. Torrey Smith was that to a certain level. So that's the thing. DeSean Jackson's not going on IR. While I'm a little bit concerned, I hope the injury isn't something that keeps taking him in and out of the lineup when he comes back since he didn't get the surgery. Let's say he comes back, and sure, maybe he's not 100%, but if he plays for the rest of the year, that's going to fix this deep ball game. Maybe not to the level of what it was week one, but certainly to a more effective level than what it has been the past couple games. So you might need another guy. I mean, Gino brought it up yesterday, maybe adding somebody at the trade deadline. He mentioned Robbie Anderson. I think that's too big of a move for the circumstances for the Eagles right now. But, you know, maybe like if they need to add another receiver, like maybe someone on Jacksonville that's kind of buried in the depth chart, like a Keelan Cole, right? Those kind of players. A speedy receiver that is buried on a depth chart. Or that's a rental that maybe you do a kind of Golden Tate-like trade. I could see that if, again, Jackson cannot stay healthy. But to me, you're not screwed even if DeSean isn't at 100%. They still have a ton of weapons. I mean, even without DeSean Jackson, and even without them adding another receiver, most teams don't have the weapons that Philly does right now against the Green Bay Packers and against the New York Jets. A lot of teams do not have at their disposal a Alshon Jeffrey and a Zach Ertz and a Dallas Goedert and a Nelson Agholor, as much as some people like to hate on him right now, and a Miles Sanders, and a Jordan Howard. I mean, those still, you are very deep at wide receiver, and you would hope that you get something out of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, your second-round pick, which you just have not right now. But even right now, the Eagles are not screwed, regardless of if they do or don't add another speed receiver, regardless of what DeSean Jackson is when he comes back. This isn't something where it's 2016 all over again, and this offense is not going to be able to make plays for the rest of the year. I mean, going to Nelson Agholor, to me, even like when we're talking about deep threats, and while they haven't been able to push the ball down the field the past 2 weeks, they still, to me, have a deep threat in Nelson Agholor. Yes, he needs to stop being so inconsistent. The fumbles have to stop. The drops have to stop. We got to stop acting like Nelson Agholor is 2016 Agholor all over again. And I was someone that wanted Agholor gone after that season. I've turned the table on him. I've turned it around. And while, even though Gino, I think Gino's too hard on him, to be honest, on our show. But yes, seeing those mental relapses kind of occur once again this season is concerning considering his past. To me, I think we're still a little bit too hard on him after this past month of games. Yes, he is not a wide receiver one. He's not going to reach that ceiling that they placed on him when they drafted him in the first round in 2015. He isn't worth the $9 million that he's getting paid right now. Sure, yes, 100%. But also, he's two holding calls away from having a 100-plus yard game this week with two deep touchdowns, and that would be three of the past four games for Nelson Agholor where he has 100-plus yards in a game, and he would have five total touchdowns. He, in 2018, had 8 plays of 30-plus yards. That was in the top tier of the NFL. He had 10 plays of 20-plus yards. So I have faith in him now to rebound. I think he did. Even, yes, the critical mistakes against the Falcons and against the Lions. What did he do after those mistakes? He caught a pass on 4th and 14, a prayer that Carson Wentz just threw up to the heavens, and he brought it down and put them in touchdown range late in that game with under a minute to play. What did he do after the bad fumble and the bad drop against Detroit? He came back and scored two touchdowns and had over 100 yards in that game. He's a reliable blocker. I still have confidence in Nelson Aguilar. I'm not willing to rule him dead in the water yet, like a lot of people are right now on Twitter, and Gino really has on this podcast. So I think he still provides a deep threat. I think they would have, I mean, they were, again, a defensive holding call away against the Jets. They were a defensive holding call and a missed Carson Wentz, an overthrow, from having two really deep plays to Nelson Aguilar. So they're not even totally screwed in that department if they don't add anybody and if DeSean Jackson is not who we think he's going to be when he returns. And also, you got to look at it from Alshon Jeffrey's perspective. Hopefully, him and Carson Wentz can get on some sort of rhythm down the field when Alshon is 100%. They haven't been able to use Alshon in that area the past couple weeks as he continues to recover from a calf strain. So with Aguilar, hopefully the inconsistencies go away. Hopefully Jackson comes back. Alshon and Wentz, if they can get on some sort of rapport like they did early last year and like Alshon Jeffrey and Nick Foles did last year, I still think they're going to be okay. And maybe you get something out of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside this year. I don't know if you're going to get that. I really wish he would step up. I know he's only a rookie. Let's use Aguilar for an example. How many years it took him to turn into a reliable slot receiver that he is today down the field too. But at the same time, like I said yesterday, for Arcega-Whiteside, he was someone that I thought was more of a finished product coming out of Stanford than, to me, one of the more raw receivers, like, you know, Mecole Hardman, who's doing way more in Kansas City right now than Arcega-Whiteside is by a mile. DK Metcalf with Seattle, making plays down the field, it seems, every single week. Paris Campbell with Indianapolis. Terry McLaurin out of Ohio State, who's now with Washington, killing it there. It's kind of frustrating that you're seeing Miles Sanders make the plays, even if he's struggling a little bit in decision-making in the run game. He is making, again, he has been their only source of explosive plays in the receiving game. So you would hope your other second-round pick would do something this year so they don't have to keep playing Mac Hollins as much as they do, and they could have some sort of balance between 11 personnel and 12 personnel. But even if he doesn't bounce back, even if he doesn't do anything this year, I'm still pretty confident in this offense, and we'll continue to talk about it coming up next right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. And guys, we're sponsored today by MyBookie. At the end of a hard week, it's great to sit down, take some time off and watch some football, game-winning touchdowns on two-minute drives, running backs racing down the sidelines with no one to stop them. There's nothing quite like the NFL, and there's no better way to make the games even more exciting than to bet on them. So do the smart thing and go to mybookie.ag. No one gives you more ways to win than they do. MyBookie's got the fastest payouts and better lines than any other sports book. Don't forget, where you're betting is just as important as who you're betting on, and mybookie.ag is the best in the business. It's where I play, and it's where you should, too. Do the smart thing. If you're going to bet football this season, bet with MyBookie. If you're the kind of guy that likes to bet a little and win a lot, you can try a parlay. For all your picks come through, you'll multiply your winnings, and no matter how you bet, the NFL season is the best time of year. Join now, and MyBookie will double your first deposit. Use our promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. Once again, that's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie.ag today. You play, you win, and you get paid. We'll be right back. All right, Louis DiBiase here, wrapping up this Tuesday edition of Locked On Eagles, getting into how the Eagles can stretch the field on offense down the road, especially in these next six games, which they're going to have to do it for sure. I'm a little bit more optimistic than some people are, especially when it comes to Nelson Aguilar, DeSean Jackson's health. To me, again, 75% of DeSean Jackson is still better than what Torrey Smith was in 2017, and Torrey Smith had a positive impact on that offense when it comes to his speed and just being a decoy alone. He really helped out the other weapons, specifically Alshon Jeffrey, Nelson Aguilar, and Zach Ertz. So I'm more confident that they can get this done when it comes to down the field plays. They were, again, two penalties away and an overthrow by Carson Wentz just this past Sunday from having two 50-plus yard touchdowns. So I think it's kind of an overreaction, and also they had opportunities to make those plays week two. Again, Nelson Aguilar just drops the football against Atlanta. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside just drops the football against Detroit. That would have been a game-winning, 50-plus-yard bomb from Carson Wentz to Arcega-Whiteside. Dallas Goedert dropped a deep pass in the end zone, too. So it's not like these guys that they have right now, even if they don't add anybody, and regardless of what happens with DeSean Jackson, it's not like they have no one on their offense that can make plays down the field. Aguilar nearly did it twice last week. He has proven he can do it over the past three seasons. Alshon Jeffrey, I'm still waiting for that part of his game to get going this year, and I think it will when him and Wentz continue to get this chemistry down as Alshon gets healthier. And the Eagles have moved the football still, even without that, the past 2 weeks. They have moved the football. The offensive line has been playing great. The running backs have been awesome. Carson Wentz has been, to me, better to start the year than he was in 2017. And again, like I said, you still have had opportunities to make plays. So I think health is really going to help this area of the offense. I think the bigger issue right now on offense are the drops and the penalties. And again, I think health will help fix that. And also, this is a veteran team. I think the penalties will start to go away as the weeks go on. Doug Peterson really seems like that's what he's going to drive home over these next couple weeks. He was not happy about the lack of discipline from both the offensive side of the football and the defensive side of the football. So yes, do the Eagles need to make plays down the field to help the running game, to help the short and intermediate game, and stretch this offense out and make defenses stay on their heels a little bit? 100%. I don't think it's a catastrophic thing, though, where they have to make some drastic move, giving up first-round picks, giving up second-round picks. I think they have stuff in-house. Just with the return of DeSean Jackson over the next 2 weeks, I don't think this will be a topic that we are talking about for the remainder of the season. But we'll keep a closer eye on it. We'll see. Who knows with Jackson? I hope he can stay in the lineup when he comes back. If not, and let's say Aguilar continues to be inconsistent and Arthego Whiteside's not doing anything, yeah, maybe at that point then you do have to go call up the Jets and see what they would give up for a Jamison Crowder or a Robbie Anderson or those kind of players. At that point, sure, you would have to look elsewhere. But for now, I think let's use Aaron Rodgers' quote, R-E-L-A-X, relax. I think they're going to be okay in that area. They've had opportunities to do it, and number 10 should be back soon. So once again, even if he's not 100%, I think that's going to help really fix this ailment, and so is the other factors that I talked about on today's edition of Locked on Eagles. Thank you for joining me on today's edition of the show. Again, subscribe to the podcast. We've got 4 to 6 podcasts a week downloaded into your phone. Wherever and whenever you're listening, we always do appreciate it. If you could leave us a 5-star rate and a review, that's how we can really grow the show for you guys and continue to feed you as much Eagles content as your heart can take, as much as your heart desires. And of course, the conversation always continues on Twitter, at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. As always, thank you for downloading, thank you for listening, and let's go Birds.